we began a Daniel fast as of Sunday. And what we're doing is we're really seeking God for an awakening. And I want to talk about what an awakening is. And some of what I'm going to share with you tonight are, there's some excerpts from Fresh Encounter by Henry Blackaby. Our text has been from 2 Chronicles 7, 13, and 14. God said this, listen, because it has to do with where we're at right now in America. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain. Now, we're not just talking about physical rain, because when there's no spiritual rain, there's also going to be drought. Are you with me? What's happening in the spirit realm is manifested in the natural realm. So God says, when there's no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence, that means disease, listen, among my people. Now, why would he do a thing like that? Well, how many know that the choices that we make automatically come with consequences? If we choose to go our own way, God will let us do that. How many have discovered that? You can do what you want. Yeah, you're free to do what you want, but there are consequences for what you do. And so God is trying to get our attention in America, because this is exactly what's happening, is we're experiencing drought. There's even talk of possibility of famine. The bees are dying off. The food crops are wilting away. We're selling off our corn to China. They're buying it up in droves because they see what's happening even. And our government's too blind to see what's going on because of sin. We see, the dysfunction, the breakdown of society, of who even knows their neighbors anymore, it seems like. When I was a kid, man, we all knew each other. We hung out, we played. There was 25 of us kids. We just ran from house to house, and we all knew everybody. But that was in Jewish City. But now, today, it's like nobody wants anything to do with their neighbors in most cases. Everybody's kind of becoming just reclusive in a lot of ways. There's a dysfunction in our society. There's a breakdown of any respect for any type of authority, and it's really ultimately a rebellion against God. And so as a result, we are seeing the natural disasters happening in America, and it's because there are spiritual forces at work due to the fact that we have made wrong choices. People say, what I do in secret or what I do with my life doesn't affect anybody else. It's not your business. Yes, it is. We are all part of a society together here in America. Amen. We're all Americans, or we should be. And so what others do does affect often the innocent. How many people have said, why did that happen to someone who was innocent? We've asked that question, haven't we? Why do bad things happen to good people? It's because man was given the ability to make choices. He was given a free will. And because people choose to go their own way and they don't listen to God's advice, the natural consequence is nature itself begins to rebel. Come on, that's what's happening. Why is that? Because God told Adam in the beginning, I've given you dominion, amen, over everything I made in the earth realm. And so when Adam and Eve had sinned and they fell from grace, what happened is the entire creation came under that curse. The land, the ground was cursed. Because man, who was the ambassador of God on the earth, the representative of heaven's government on the earth realm, he rebelled against his commander-in-chief. And so if any ambassador were to go to a foreign nation and no longer represent the nation that sent them, they would withdraw that ambassador. And so that's what's happened. And man was separated because of sin. And so all of creation is groaning and travailing under the weightiness of sin, because the land itself has become defiled. through the choices that mankind have made, and we're seeing that happen. So God told them, listen, if these things come upon you, if I send these things because of the choices that you made, because he is a God of justice, and his justice demands that there will be a penalty for breaking his law. Are you with me? What would happen if we didn't have laws in America? It would be a mess, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd be worse than it is. It would be chaotic. It would be anarchy. You look at some of those nations where the rule of law has broken down and they're running around hacking people's arms and legs off and raping and pillaging and burning and torturing and all these horrible things. If man is left to himself without some kind of guidelines, that's what he's capable of doing. And we can say, oh, I never do anything like that. Well, maybe you wouldn't, but you know what? We're filled with that potential. Everybody has the potential, because when Adam and Eve sinned, they were opened up to the evil realm, the knowledge of good and evil. They didn't have that before. So now we have the potential to tap into the darkness, into illegal territory, and we can become vile. We can become Hitlers. We can become Saddam Husseins. We can become, you know, these crazy men, these Kim Il-jung and these people that are, they're ruling with an iron fist and they're oppressing their people. And they're even torturing people if they don't bow down to them. I mean, this is what man is capable of doing independent of God. And so because of the things that have happened, because of choices that, listen, we have made as a people. Let's say a we thing, okay? Because we've all made wrong choices. This has a repercussion on the land, and the land is revolting. But God gave a promise. Anytime we get off track and we go astray, God always says, listen, if you come back, I'll restore you. If you come back, I'll bless you. If you come back, I'll prosper you again. But it's going to require the people that are called by his name. That's verse 14. If my people, that's the Christians, not the people that don't know God, but you and I, if the people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, are you with me? Turn from their wicked way. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. So God said, if you will do these things, if you will humble yourself before me, if you will seek my face and you will turn from your wicked way, then God said, listen, not only will I do it in your life and in your family, but I'll turn society around. Because God takes note when his people get right with him. We have that influence on the earth. We have been given the authority, the keys on the earth realm to release heaven or hell. Are you with me? Yeah. To bind and to loose. And therefore, if my people, you and I, will humble ourselves and pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal the land. The land once again will blossom. You know, the scientists are scratching their head. What's going on? Why are all this wacky weather? Global warming. You know, that's a bunch of bunk. I'm sorry, but it's because they don't know what else to say. And they don't want to acknowledge the truth of the Word of God. So they've got to come up with some other alternative plan, usually with a hidden agenda such as resources, money from the government. And we're going to get into politics tonight, but it has... But how many know that what we do influences everything? And our political system is definitely being influenced by ungodly people. And we need to return. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray. You know what? I don't curse the president. I pray for him. We are to pray for him, and we're to bless and not curse. We pray for his salvation. We do. We pray, Lord, save this man and save his family. Wouldn't it be cool if Barack Obama got radically saved? And Michelle and all the kids, everybody got saved? Hallelujah. What a testimony. What to the grace of God that would be. And it would certainly be helpful for us too, wouldn't it? But listen. A lot of people say that they claim to be Christians. They claim to be followers of Christ. But how many know that a Christian is a follower of Jesus? A Christian is not a follower of this and this and this and this. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. Amen. They called them, the unbelievers in the early church called them what? Christians. They didn't call themselves that. They called them Christians. Why? Because they were Christ followers.
Yes.
So Christians are the ones who have been given the authority on the earth realm to call in heaven's influence. We can influence what happens in America if we will pray and we will seek the Lord and we will quit our sinning. Then God said, then I'll take note. And right now we're at that place. We're at a crossroads in this nation. It can go either way. America is at the tipping point. It's right at the tipping point. It could go either way. And folks, if there was ever a time we need to be crying out for God's mercy, not for his justice, because if we got what we deserve, we're through. Amen. But we need to pray for God's mercy that we don't get what we deserve, that God will be merciful to us. How many want to see your grandkids grow up? Amen. And your children's children. You want to see America prosper and be blessed once again. It can be if the people called by his name will humble themselves and pray and seek his face. But I want to talk about spiritual awakening. Number one, how many know that if a person is in a coma, they're not in a condition to reach out and hit the call button? Of course, that was science, right? You knew that one, right? If a person's in a coma, they're not able to hit the call button. A spiritual awakening is what is going to be required for things to turn, first of all, in us and then in society. And so God authors it. God is the one who sends an awakening. He's the one that sends his spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So it's not something that we can do through self-efforts or through meditation, as some are trying to meditate for world peace. That's not of God. That is not going to bring in world peace. As a matter of fact, that's part of the problem, because they're going after other gods, and usually it's themselves. So awakening is as if we were asleep, right? And the light came on. How many ever been asleep, just really chilling out and enjoying a good nap? And somebody comes in and hits the light. Oh, turn that off. Sometimes the first thing that happens when God begins to turn the light on is it hurts your eyes. Are you with me? Sometimes it's an irritation, actually. Has anybody ever been irritated by God? When you heard something you really didn't want to hear, but you knew it was true, but you didn't want to hear it, it's an irritation. It's the light coming on. The light stings your eyes. But the light is necessary. But if you will hang in there and you be willing to yield to the light, eventually what will happen is your eyes will adjust and you'll come up out of your sleep. So resuscitation for someone who's in a coma, amen, is something that has to happen from an external party. That person themselves really can't revive themselves. We need God to move in such a way that even the people walking down the street out here, they're walking around Shelton. They're walking, in fact, we're praying for Mason County, that there's going to be such a move of God's Spirit that people are going to be captivated. They're going to be arrested by the Holy Spirit. The fear of God is going to come on people, and they're going to come to an awareness. Their eyes are going to begin to open up, and they're going to realize, they're going to see that I am blind. I'm going to see that I have been deceived. I'm going to recognize that I am in trouble with God, and I need mercy. I need to come to Him for forgiveness, because when God turns the light on, you begin to realize how far away you really are. And a person who walks in darkness does not realize it, usually. Are you with me? I once walked in darkness. I didn't know I was in darkness. The light I had, I thought that was light, the true light. Until the light of Christ shone. And the real light came on, and I began to see that, wow, what I thought was light was actually darkness. Are you with me? Jesus said, beware, lest that light that's in you be not darkness. Because there is a light that's actually a darkness. It's a deceptive light of the enemy. Satan himself appears as an angel of light. So they say, oh, follow the light. Just follow the light. What light are you following? The true light that shines in the hearts of men is Christ by the Holy Spirit. The true light is he who came down from heaven, the Lamb of God. Amen? The Word of God. And so we need, first of all, to understand that an awakening is a work of God. Secondly, there is no revival where there's no repentance. Sin brings death, Romans 6:23. The only remedy for sin is what? Repentance. 1 John 1:9 through 10. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. That's John 16:8. Jesus said this, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So there is no revival. Don't be fooled. There are people who think they're in some kind of revival situation, but where there's no repentance, it's not authentic. It's a counterfeit revival. And it comes complete with goosebumps. Are you with me? And good feelings sometimes. There is deception, great deception today. The true repentance, amen, is one where there's an awareness of sinfulness. When God's light, God's holiness begins to shine in us, we begin to realize that we are lost. We begin to realize that we have need of God's grace. It's the mercy of God that turns the light on in the first place. Amen? If we don't know that we're in sin, then we're walking in darkness. When the light comes on, we begin to see it, and then we say, now what do I do? And Jesus says, give it to me. I paid the price already for you. Turn from it. Just turn from it. And I'll blot out your sin. As a matter of fact, I'll make sure that it's never remembered again. It'll never be brought before you again. I'll never bring it in front of your face again. God doesn't forget it. What he means is I'm not going to rub it in your face anymore. Did you repent of your sin? Did you say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry enough. I'm not going to do it anymore. He says, okay, you're forgiven. Now go and sin no more and go in freedom now. Walk in this freedom. You don't have to go back to it because you're not a slave to it anymore. So just ask Jesus, Lord, forgive me. Spiritual awakening involves returning, right? You and I turning back to God. True awakening always leads to holiness. What is holiness? Remember, we went through this. Does holiness mean, you know, wearing your hair in a bun and a long dress and going around and say, you know, I mean, come on. There's a holiness movement, right? Now, those people mean well. Let's give them some credit, right? They really want to do the right thing. But what they're not understanding is that you are never going to be good enough. Oh, that helps me sometimes when I say, okay, it gets me off the hook of trying to save myself. What do I do instead? I run to Jesus. I can't save myself, so what can I do? I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to feel guilty the rest of my life or feel dirty? No. I come to Jesus and he cleanses me. I run to the Lord. I call on him. I say, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry enough, Lord, I mean business with you, that I'm done with this. You know what I'm saying? Really, being ready for Jesus means you're done with sin. There are a lot of people, they want to spark, you know, bargains with God. They say, yeah, I'll do this, but I ain't going to do that. He paid for us with his blood. He owns us. We're his kids. If he says don't do it, you don't do it. If he says do it, you do it. Sin separates. You know, sometimes, folks, the reason why we feel distant from God is just because of that. How many know it's not because God has left? He doesn't do that. He'll say, I'll never leave you. He hasn't left. Aren't you glad he doesn't leave us? But if we feel distant from God, it's because we've left. Because he makes himself available to us anytime. If we mean business and we get serious with God, he'll forgive us. He'll welcome us home. Not only that, will it be a celebration. There'll be a party. I'm enjoying the presence of the Lord. How about you? We're enjoying Jesus now. Why? Because my sins are forgiven. I'm a forgiven man. Not only that, I'm a Holy Spirit-filled man. The Holy Spirit is in me, and life is good in the God zone. But you got to let Jesus in. You got to let him fill your life. Amen. You know, he can't fill you if you're full of you, if you're full of the junk. So take it to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm done with the junk. I want the junk out, and I want you in. I mean, no, it's just like that. It's an exchange thing. I give him my heart. He gives me his heart. He'll take out the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. A heart that can feel and sense and love. And amen? And I sense his presence. How many sense his presence here? So holiness is not just, you know, the way you dress or obeying the rules. How many know that you will listen to Jesus and you will obey his voice when you love him? But it's not, Christianity is not just a bunch of rules. That's what poisons people against the true Christianity. What true Christianity is they've been given all this stuff that's been dumped on them and all this responsibility that they have to live up to a certain standard, which no one has ever in history been able to do except one. And that was Jesus. He did it for us. So it's not a bunch of rules. What it is, it's a relationship. How much is better is a relationship than to have some impersonal life force giving you a bunch of rules? That's not our God. Our God is a personal God. Our God is a loving God. Our God cares about us. Our God is actually for us. Do you know he was actually for you even when you weren't for him? Do you know he actually loved you when you weren't loving him? Maybe you don't really know what it is to love God yet. You know how you get to love God? By letting him love you. By worshiping him. By opening your heart and giving him a hug and embracing him. And when the love of God comes in, you will love because he's love. You can't have an encounter with love and not love. And he's love. And that's what made the difference in my life. I thought it was just a bunch of rules and I didn't want to live by the rules. And when I found out it's a relationship. And this relationship produces life in me. It produces a life that's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's glorious. It's not without its problems, but I do know this, that no matter what I face in this world, Jesus is always with me. Amen? He's never left me. I just got a text message from somebody I hadn't heard from in a long time. Just talking about how beat down he felt because he's made all these wrong choices and he found himself in a bad spot, in a bad place in life because of choices that he keeps making that are not right, the right choices. And you know, I told him, I said, listen, Peter made wrong choices. Peter, one of the disciples, you know, he said, Jesus, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to serve you. Lord, I'm not even going to let you go to the cross. He got rebuked for that one. But Peter thought that he had the ability in himself to live a holy life. To live for God. And so Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows right twice, you're going to deny me three times. And you know, Peter probably thinking, not me, Lord. He didn't understand that he didn't have the power to live for God. What he thought he had in himself was not sufficient for this task that we've been given. Amen. To live in victory over darkness. We can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Peter had to learn that his own way was not going to be enough. And so what happened is Peter fell on his face. He was broken, busted, and disgusted. He came to the end of himself. And Jesus said, Peter, when you are converted, when you're changed, then you will strengthen your brothers. You'll actually be my person that I will use to bless and strengthen other people. Isn't that amazing? The one who failed Jesus ended up being the one that he used. So if you fail Jesus, guess what? He'll forgive you, he'll restore you, and he'll use you to help other people. The devil says, you're down. Keep kicking you while you're down. I told him, listen, Peter failed, but God never gave up on him. God never stopped loving him. God knew that Peter had to learn a hard lesson. And he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He may have to take us behind the barn and give us a spanking, but he'll do what it takes to get our attention, to bring us back because he loves us that much. How many know if you love your children, you don't let them play in traffic very long? What is holiness? What is holiness? It means purity, right? To be pure. It means to be unmixed. Unmixed, pure. If you have pure gold, it means it's not mixed with any other metals or impurities. It's pure. Okay, God is pure. God is holy. Everything God says, everything God thinks, everything God does is always in total, complete agreement. He's completely whole. There's no dysfunction between what he thinks and what he says and what he does. You and I, on the other hand, are unholy. There have been many times with what we thought we would do and what we actually did, they weren't holy. There was a disconnect, right? Even sometimes what we said, what we meant to do, or what we meant to say. How many of you had a thought and you didn't say it the right way? It's an unholy right word, right? Okay, now how does an unholy person become holy? Well, first of all, you and I cannot stand before a holy God if we're unclean. So Christ made a way through the cross, through the blood, to pay the price for our sins so we could be forgiven. Our sins could be washed away. He, the sinless one, became sin for us. So God placed upon Christ the sins of the world. Amen? That whoever goes through Christ, through Jesus, will enter into life. They will receive forgiveness. Now, listen, it doesn't end there. Because if you just get forgiveness, but you don't receive the Spirit of Christ, then you don't belong to him. Remember, there were 10 lepers. We talked about this. All 10 of them were cleansed, but only one came back to give glory to God. So people can go down to an altar and say, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm really a mess, and I got this guilt and this shame off me. And God says, okay. And they walk away feeling good, but they don't return, are you with me, to give God glory. And so the one who returned, the one out of the 10 who returned to give glory, he was the one who was justified. The rest were not. So you can be cleansed and not be justified in God's sight. The ones who return to give glory to God are the ones who have faith in God, and the ones who have faith in God will see God. And his holiness must become our holiness. The Holy One and the Unholy One can only be brought together through that medium, which is the blood of Jesus. So you and I in Christ are holy. As we abide in the Holy One, how many have discovered when you worship and you abide in Christ, then your thoughts, your words, and your deeds begin to line up. Christians, when they don't walk in holiness or in God's holiness, they become hypocrites. The world says they're a bunch of hypocrites. They say one thing and they do another thing. Well, let me just tell you, everybody here has been a hypocrite at least once. At least once. So what's the key here? What's the solution? I need to be holy. And the only way I'm going to be holy, made whole, is in his holiness. Amen. He makes me whole. So an awakening causes our eyes to see that we are in need of God's grace. God does it. He opens our eyes and we say, Lord, please forgive me. I come to him. I receive cleansing. And then I ask Jesus to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Amen? And he says, I'll come in if you let me in. But then we need to walk with him. We just walk with him every day. In a relationship, not in under a strong code of do's and don'ts, but in a love relationship that's actually enjoyable. I enjoy my walk with Jesus. Do you? Do you enjoy your walk with Jesus? You have a fellowship with him? Do you really know him? He wants you to know him. Yeah, he wants us to know him. He wants to speak to you. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show you the plans that he has for you and the future that he has for you. He has something so far superior to the lesser things that this world can give you, which are only temporary, and they leave you empty. And even young people today, they're discovering at a young age that it's been a lie. All the stuff they were telling me is going to make me feel good or be cool, it's been a lie. It's left me empty. It's left me feeling ashamed and guilty and stressed out. God says, listen, Jesus said this to the people who are under all that bondage and that religious bondage. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. All of you who are under the hard taskmaster of the law and performance and trying to be good enough. He said, just come to me and I'll forgive you and I'll restore you. And I'll give you my heart and my heart will be in you. And we'll walk through this thing together. You'll never be alone again. And I'll always be there, no matter what you encounter in life, no matter where you go, I will always be there for you. I'll always be there with you. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the fire, you shall not be burned. Through the flame, it will not kindle upon you. God is saying, no matter what, I'm going to stay with you, but you've got to abide in me. If you abide in me, then you will become a whole person. You will be holy in your conduct, in your conversation, in the way that you live. And it's not something that's fake. You got people knocking on doors trying to get you to join their club. You know what I'm talking about? Their religious club. And they got this fake smile. And they're all in bondage and they're all know they're hypocrites, but they don't know any other way. Come on, there's some of us here that were there, right? Amen. Jesus is saying, I'm the way. You guys are stressed out. You guys are trying to work for something that you can never earn. Are you with me? You can never earn your salvation. How good is good enough? Well, God's good enough is perfection. Is anybody perfect? God says, my standard is my law. And if you broke my law, if you broke even one of my laws, you broke them all. So how good is good enough? When have you knocked on the last door and God says, I love you enough now because you've been such a good person, I'm going to take you home. No. The Bible says clearly there are none good. There's none that was good. God is good and God is gracious and God is merciful and God gave Jesus on our behalf that through the blood we can receive forgiveness and then receive the Spirit, hallelujah, of the living God to come to dwell within us and we become followers of Jesus, true Christians. Amen. You see, there are some people that are receiving a different Jesus, a Jesus of their own fashioning. Well, I want Jesus to be like this. No, Jesus doesn't change. You need to be like him. Amen. When an awakening occurs, people are filled with the Holy Spirit. When a true awakening happens, we are going to have a heart to serve. It's going to produce an attitude of willing obedience. When my heart is not right with God, when I'm distant from God, I don't want to do anything. Are you with me? I don't want to be troubled by what I know I'm supposed to do because it just seems like this big task that's so hard and so undoable. But when my heart is right with God, it's like there's such a love in our hearts that it's not a chore. It's a way of life. You want to serve Jesus. You want to love people. You want to tell people about Jesus. You want to help people. When you're right with God, it will produce a willing obedience, not one that's kicking and screaming, I have to, I'm going to church because I'm supposed to. It's like, when are the doors open? Lord, send me to the mission field, send me to the world. See, that's why we in here we create that atmosphere of heaven through praise and worship. So the glory of God comes down, and what happens is God begins to stir up people's hearts, and they begin to open up to God, and God begins to fill them. And guess what? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will begin to desire to do the things that he tells you to do. You'll actually desire to do what he wants you to do when you're full of him. When you're not, you don't want to do it. Why? Because you realize it's bigger than you are and you can't do it. But you can do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the cool thing, because then God will show up. When you're humbled before him, said, God, I can't do this, but I know you can. So, Lord, I'm just going to be a vessel today. I'm going to pray for the sick today, or I'm going to, you know, speak to somebody today. And guess what? God shows up.
Amen.
But it takes you and I getting to the place where our hearts are full of his love. Amen? That we've sought him and we're filled with Jesus. And then automatically you want to serve him. It's a willing choice. It's not something that's, you know, a hardship. You don't look at it that way. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do. When you're on fire for Jesus, like we're supposed to be, we're supposed to remain awake. If we've gone into slumber, amen, we need to get the Holy Spirit paddles out and get a charge again, boom, and come back to life. Amen. Resuscitate. Let God resuscitate you and wake up and shake off the dust, because God is saying to his church today, I want you to arise and shine. Because your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Isaiah 61. That means you and I arise and shine. All right. How many are saying, you know what? I'm getting this tonight.
Yeah.
I hope you are. Because, you know, if you just hear this tonight and you walk away and you don't make a decision tonight, you're going to lose it. You know what? The birds will pluck that seed right out of your heart. And the birds are the demons. When God speaks to you, and God has spoken to you tonight, and you've been hearing God speaking through this clay vessel, by the Holy Spirit, I've been speaking to you. If you will listen and you will obey God tonight, God will meet you right where you're at, and God will perform what he's promised you. But if you just say, well, one of these days, I'll do it later, and you walk out that door, guess what? The birds are going to pluck that seed out of your heart. You're going to forget all about it, and you're going to go right back into the darkness again. You're going to stumble around, and you're going to make a lot of more bad choices, and on it's going to go until hopefully someday, by the mercy of God, you're going to fall on your face low enough to where you realize you just cannot do it on your own anymore. Finally, an awakening brings people back into a love relationship with him. People become aware, right? The Lord, I mentioned this Sunday, Jeremiah 3:14. He says, return, O backslidden children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city, two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. He's going to restore us to fellowship with himself, with the Father. How many here have found it to be a real burden to serve the Lord? Just raise your hand if you found it a burden. Okay, how many have found it a joy to serve the Lord? Okay, I think that's a pretty overwhelming witness today, that what I'm here telling you is not something that's foreign to us. Amen? We're just being reminded, but it's something that I need to also talk to myself about. I need to keep looking into the mirror of God's word myself. I have to keep reminding myself of who I am, otherwise I can forget. You know, looking into the word of God is like looking in a mirror, James said, right? So you can see yourself and say, oh, yeah, that's what I look like. That's who I am. That's my identity. And then if you don't take enough time and spend enough time there, you walk away and you forget. And God says, abide in me and let my word abide in you. And then you're going to start to see that faith is going to rise in your heart. And when you start to pray, things are going to start happening. You're going to start to see your prayers being. How many liked your prayers answered? Amen. Faith will arise through the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've heard the word of God tonight. What are you going to do with it? Would you bow your heads just for a moment and pray? And right where you're at tonight, you know, the Lord is calling you. He's calling even young people tonight. He's calling you guys. He's calling you to rise up. He's calling you to take the time right now, the opportunity to seize the moment, to turn to Christ with your whole heart. He's not talking about a little thing that you do once a week. He's talking about a life, a walk of love, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, I want to come in and I want to fill your life. I want you to give me all the cheap stuff. Give me all the junk. Give me all the artificial stuff that you've been filling yourself with. trying to complete yourself, trying to make you all the video and all the other stuff that you just get caught up in. The media storms and all the stuff. And God's saying, give me that stuff and let me give you the genuine pearls. Let me give you what's really real. Let me give you my abundant life. God wants to fill your life. He wants to fill you so much that you're just not going to know what to do with yourself. You're just going to be so blasted in His love. I'm telling you what, you'll never get as high as you will when you go to the Most High and surrender your life. And you need to return. If you maybe you once walked there, but you've drifted, God's calling you to an awakening today. He's saying, wake up, return. I'm married to you, I love you, and I want to restore you and return you to Zion, to my Father's house. Would you say yes tonight? Right where you're at, you can say, Jesus, I really want to follow you. I really want to know you. Lord, I'm tired of my own way. I want to know your way. I ask you, Jesus, please forgive me for going my own way. Cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. Give me your righteousness. Jesus, I open the door of my heart and I ask you to come in. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Teach me how to love and how to walk with you and make you known in Jesus' name. You know, if you prayed that tonight and you meant business, the Lord has answered that prayer. God has received you. Now He's saying, abide in my word. Get into the word of God. Begin to feed yourself on the word. Start in the New Testament. Get into the word and God's going to begin to speak to you through the written word. And He's going to show you who you are. You see, the biggest problem we have, and even when I was growing up, my biggest problem was an identity problem. I didn't know who I was. So I was searching with this group and that thing and that thing. And, you know, and none of it was completing me. None of it made me satisfied me. None of it made sense really in the end. Until I returned to my Creator, Jesus Christ. And He began to reveal to me who He is. And as I saw Him, I began to see a reflection. I began to realize that I was created for Him. I was created by Him. You and I were made for His pleasure. We were made for His pleasure.